24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything. 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 Everything.
School brand, we got money on the mic with the plan in hand. Instead of Pat to his left, they go hand in hand. And to the right, we got Simster, he putting it down. It's the Profanity Nation, we running the town here.
It's the Profanity Nation.
Profanity Nation.
Professional players deserve professional fans, and that's what we got here in the studio today. I'm Shireen Ryan, a.k.a. Queen Shireen, and we're going to go around the room and introduce ourselves. Go ahead, Money Mike.
Hey, yo, yo, Money Mike, South Bay Laker season ticket holder. Also, lifetime Laker fan. I have a ball with everybody that's retired on the ball. Took me 10 years to get Laker room, all sorts, so I'm all Lakers.
All right, my name is Stat Pat, and all I do is just eat, sleep, drink Los Angeles Laker basketball. So you got a topic you want to send to me, let me know. I got the answer for you.
Simsta, Jeff Sims, South Bay Lakers season ticket holder and Lakers season ticket holder, lifelong diehard fan and just sports fan in general, ready to go.
Again, long time, lifetime Laker fan, South Bay Laker season ticket holder last season, but I also covered the South Bay Lakers for 4 years and love the team. So we want to bring more and more awareness to the South Bay Lakers because they're a very exciting team, and we're going to talk about them. We're also going to talk about the Lakers, of course, and we're going to start that conversation. Are the Lakers running too hard too early, Magic Mike? I mean, Money Mike? I called you Magic Mike! Oh, are we going to see a little?
Yeah, I'm going to take that. I'll take that.
Add that slip, little Magic Mike. Okay, Magic Money Mike.
We're going to have to keep it G-rated, though.
Keep it above the desk. Yeah.
I didn't cuss.
Well, you know, they are they running too hard too early? You know, I was looking over their schedule. About 14 of the teams that they play, that they beat, are under 500. So, you know, I think they haven't really been tested too much, really, you know, so far. Like, they haven't played the ones that really that they're going to go compete against the playoffs that much. You know, we beat Charlotte and Chicago and, you know, the Pelicans and, you know, teams like that. So, I mean, they should be running through those teams. So, the way I feel about it is, they should be beating them. So, it's not too early for me.
I mean, just to what you're saying, by them playing against an easy schedule, I mean, so far, we can look at the schedule. However, you have to play who on your schedule.
Right.
So you can't really pick and choose the one you get to play these guys. At the same time, I also saw a stat where they were saying that the Lakers were 18-0 versus teams under below 500 and 6-5 of teams that was, you know, above 500.
Right.
And which I thought was misleading about that stat because it was only pertaining to the Lakers. It didn't say anything about any of the other teams. And if we just saw that the Clippers just lost at home to the Houston Rockets and brought their now, 8-6 against teams above, you know, 500. So, it's, you know, the West is a tough place to play. And, you know, I think for us to be ahead, we need to boost as many the lead as far as we can, get that number one seed because we're going to need it this year. You know, and I think, I mean, honestly, to go back to the topic, I don't think we're running too. I think we're actually pacing ourselves just right now.
So I'm a little concerned because it's now December again and LeBron's not playing. So the Lakers are number one in the West, 25-5. And the Clippers are next with 22-9, then the Nuggets with 19-8. We're about to play Denver, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're still ahead. We're still, I mean, we're still in number one. We're still in the top spot, but we can't lose it. And that's the thing. We can't lose our intensity. We can't go back to, well, it's December, you know, let's rest up. We're going to be against load management, but we're going to do load management. You know, like we can't say we're going to do load management. But, well, you know, we don't do load management. We're going to do load management on the down low, you know, let Doc take all the heat. Right. You know what I mean? But, you know, fans, they're hot and cold. You start losing, and all of a sudden, they start trashing their team. Well, are those the real fans? I say no.
No, they're not.
You always, you know, ride with your team, but you do get frustrated.
Well, I mean, we've had some injuries too, right? So I want Kuz to come back, and I don't want him traded.
Kuz is, you know, he has the heart. You know, he has that winner mentality. I mean, we could trade KCP in a minute.
I don't know. Like, didn't he get better?
I mean, but that's the problem. He's playing better. For $8 million, you know.
He's playing better.
Getting better, he should already be there.
We'll see. I am with you. I'm concerned. In all honesty, Lakers have been playing good. But when you look at the teams that they've lost against, they're all the teams they're going to have to beat. Mm-hmm. Every time there's been a test, they failed. We've got Dallas, took them down, Raptors, Clippers, Bucks. Every team that you could name up to date that has any chance to take them down this year actually has already.
And I would tell you, though, with that Buck game, you know, I mean, Giannis was like, look, I'm MVP. You know, he let everybody know that I don't know what the conversation is.
There's no
LeBron
conversation
is the oldest
anymore.
Person that could possibly get the MVP. Giannis let it be known, like, yo, I'm the man. And you, if you ain't going to win MVP over me.
Well, and everybody's going to bring their A game against this team,
right?
Because this team is stacked.
Yeah. Well, that's my biggest problem, though. I mean, you know, I it's hard for me because I'm not really like a LeBron fan, but I'm a Laker fan, so I still have to root for him. Mm-hmm. But you know, for me, it's like when the team had to get stacked in order for us to be able to win. But the narrative always was before that he could put any team on him, and as long as he's on it, they'll go to the playoffs. So
right.
It's like they totally ignored what happened last year. And then he's leading the league in assists. That's because 85% of his passes are going to AD. I mean, AD don't get any credit for his assist.
I mean, but when we were talking about the teams that the Lakers have played and the tests they've had, in two of those games, we did not have Kuzma. Now, you put in Kuzma just as a threat on the court. You don't have I'm not saying he can stop Giannis, but you're not putting a smaller player on Giannis to go ahead and get destroyed like that. Now, of course, Giannis had a great game. Now he hit 5 out of 7 3-pointers. Now that's literally well over 50% from the three. Am I going to live with that? I have to, because before that game you're shooting 32%. I'm playing the percentages here. So if you're shooting those, you're out of the paint. I'm okay with that. So when I'm seeing it, and also we did not lose by much. I mean, when the focus became, let's go ahead and give it to our greatest asset, which is AD. Once they started to put the ball in AD's hand, you saw the Lakers able to come back. And really, that is going to be a lot of teams' problems. I mean, we're saying a lot. I mean, I really believe once we start to establish some kind of offensive philosophy, which we really haven't had so far, I think you'll see easier post-ups, easier ways to the basket for Anthony Davis, and I think that's going to help us when we play against those teams that are undersized or even, you know, that are on par with the Lakers. I mean,
we've been playing away games, right?
Yeah, we've been on the road.
That's the crutch that they're saying. That Lakers are saying, well, we've been playing away games.
I never felt like they were in that game, as they were catching up and scoring. I never felt like they had a chance in that game. Every point was difficult, and every point for the Bucks was easy.
Well, they were down by 20, though.
Yeah. You know? Well, yeah, but it was just like, you know, even as they were coming back,
right.
I never felt that they were in that game.
Yeah.
And then I just have to say it, that misguided LeBron 3 when we had a 5-on-4 break, and he just tossed it up from, I don't know, 28, 30 feet and bricked it. That pretty much killed the momentum at that point that we had. But it just never felt like we were in that game.
Well.
So when it came to, like, that three, that ill-advised three you were talking about, There was a couple of also turnovers in that game that really were critical.
Rondo turnovers were horrid.
Yeah,
Rondo was.
We were down
scary
by 7 points with 2 minutes to go in that game with the ball. A basket there is a two-possession ball game with over 90 seconds to go in that game. Now, I'll take my chances against the best team in the NBA all the time like that. So even if we were not in that game, somehow the Lakers found a way to get in that game when it was critical. Now, we didn't just put ourselves on it, but we put ourselves in a great position to actually steal that game. We were not supposed to win that game. We're not, I mean, you know, they hyped
last game of a road trip.
But it was set us up for, like, it was a litmus test more for, I would say, Milwaukee than it was for the Lakers. I mean, that's my personal opinion.
I'll give you that.
I would say the Christmas Day game is going to be more of a litmus test for us than the Clippers, because the Clippers are actually playing with house money when it comes to that game.
Yeah.
You know, before, in the first game of the season, it was more about, okay, can the Clippers, who's going to establish what? The Lakers didn't show up, the Clippers did. Now that we know that the Clippers are established and the Lakers are now still, you know, for some people's eyes, still we don't feel that we're the number one team in the West, even though our records suggest otherwise.
That's our fan mentality, though.
But, right.
I mean, our fan mentality really at the end of the day is like, as long as we're putting up championship banners, everything else. It's like Ricky Bobby said, you're not first, you're last.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's basically how.
Yeah, it's a waste of time. Like,
we look at this, you know, our Laker thing. But
no use to make the playoffs if you're not going to win.
So, Mike, what do you think about the coaching? Because, you know, that we got rid of all our coaches because it was the coaching. Do you think the coaching is better? Do you think the coaching could have helped us?
No, I'm still trying to figure out what their offense is. No, after a while, I'm used to being able to look at a game and be able to know the plays because I watch enough of the actual, you know, games. I was like, okay, they're about to run this. Or, you know, just because I see, you know, 80% of the plays, I still don't know what they do. The only time they go to the inside is to AD. You know, everything else is passed out to the 3-point, and hopefully they get a shot. So I still don't see a structural offense, you know, a fluid offense at all. We're, you know, 30 games into the season.
Is LeBron the coach?
You know.
I have to ask the question.
You know what? I mean, listen, I think definitely he is the one that says this is what we're going to do. I don't understand why that is. You know, he's not a guard, he's not great at facilitating. You know, he needs to be a forward and post up and be, you know, do what forwards do instead of trying to facilitate.
Maybe he doesn't want to get beat up?
Didn't Doc just comment on that?
What do you say?
LeBron's making all the calls for the Lakers, and it's essentially, which is completely hypocritical.
There's a nerve of him to even say
Well, because he's saying LeBron picks his teammates and
like Kawhi didn't?
like Kawhi, not only that, but I mean, Kawhi also chooses when he shows up and when he doesn't show up, when he's going to play, when he's going to work, when he ain't going to work.
You know Doc is the biggest hypocrite.
It's
not profanity,
when he was in Boston, he ran the team to the ground and didn't care if he was hurt. And now over here, Kawhi, it's
a new world for him.
It's a whole new world.
Well, that's because Kawhi is running the show.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know.
So, is everybody resting their team for this Christmas Day game?
I think so. You know,
it feels like it, doesn't it?
Here's the thing about it. Like,
it's a big game.
Like what Pat said, you know, it's a really big game. I mean, we have to punch them in their mouth. It can't be down to the wire. You know, winning by 2 points on a last-minute shot because if the Clippers are in that game, because we never was in the first game, so we have to take them out the game and
there's
and
a spread.
Yeah,
we got to beat the spread.
Yeah, we have.
Is it a Clippers home game?
No, it's a Lakers home game.
Yeah, it's a Lakers home game.
But Clippers home games
so our
are
banners
Lakers
will be out. Yeah. You know, our banners will be out.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, it won't be no selfies.
I'll be there.
You know, and it won't be no selfies in the arena.
So what's the prediction?
You know, I think the Lakers are going to win, but I think it's going to be close. And I think for me personally, I'm not going to be satisfied with the win if we don't punch them in their mouth.
What's the strategy? How are they going to win? To AD.
I mean, well, look, the strategy is throw the ball to AD.
Throw the ball,
you know, and give LeBron 15 assists, and then everybody say LeBron is great, because of all the assists he got. But when AD is doing all the work.
But Pat, if it's that predictable, then is it really a game? Because then Doc can coach around that.
Because they'll just sit, Harrell in his lap, and double team him when he gets the ball. I really do believe for us to win, LeBron has to win. He has to get 40. It's not a LeBron can do this 21 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists, because the X factor, especially when it comes to the Clippers, is Lou Williams. Now, I love Caruso. KCP is okay.
Danny Green's got to show up.
You have Daniels. You have Cook. Now, when you're thinking about who's going to check Lou Williams, I see that's a big advantage that they have over us. And can our guards get away from Patrick Beverley's pressure defense? That's another thing.
And so, he's going to start fighting, isn't he?
Can they not fall into the Patrick Beverley trap?
Well, and it will be chippy. And they're going to make it chippy because they have to make it chippy. And they want to make it that way. And the Lakers have to be above it. But I think LeBron has to put the onus on the referees to call fouls in the paint. Shooting fadeaway three-pointers and step-back threes is not going to win.
Right. And I agree with Pat. I mean, if LeBron gets 40, he has to affect the game. He has to get other players, the people that scarred him, in foul trouble. That's how you get them off the court. It's not about just him scoring 40. If the opponents, Kawhi's not in foul trouble, if Paul George is not in foul trouble, and then they could be on the court, then he's not affecting the game, to make Doc make adjustments.
Mm-hmm. I think if the Clippers play like Lou and Montrez with all that heart, those two have so much heart on mm-hmm. the court, then they have a good chance of winning, because I think everybody wants to show the world, this is the game where everybody shows who's the best, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Lakers are going to step it up as well. And I think that the Lakers can win this if they stay together as a team. And, you're saying LeBron should score 40 points. But if they do that, then it's a little more predictable. So the team is going to have to come together as a team, put their egos at the door, and just start passing the ball around, do things that are a surprise in my eyes, so that the Clippers don't know what's hit them.
We need four players. Okay. AD and LeBron alone aren't going to do it.
No, it's not.
Because the Clippers aren't built on two players. So we need four players to show up for this game, and Danny Green needs to step up.
I was going to say, Danny Green knows Kawhi's game, right?
He has to step up and hit his threes in this game, and we're going to need a fourth. Now, whoever that is, Quinn Cook, who's maybe if he's playing well at that point, but we are going to need that fourth player. It's not going to happen with AD and LeBron.
I would say, going back to what I was saying about this LeBron scoring 40. Now, LeBron has to do that. AD has to do his thing. Now, Danny Green is another person that has to step up, like we already spoke about. However, it's not even really, to me, about just – they have to step up in a way where a lot of times they're missing a lot of wide-open three-point shots. Now, I've looked at – when we were playing – we were talking about, earlier about the Bucks game. I call it six-point swings. Mm-hmm. Basically, there was a point where we're down by 11. We shot a three-pointer that would have cut it to 8. However, we missed the three. They go down, and they hit the three. Instead of an 8-point game, we got a 14-point game. These swings are also what happens in all these little games where we're playing from behind or we're winning. That's why I'm really concerned about Danny Green shooting, because they're not getting shots where there's like duress. It's literally wide open shots that we're missing, and we should be making a lot more of those threes. If we can make the threes, we'll crush them. I mean, I really do that. If we make our threes, we'll crush them. Because that's really the only thing that the Lakers haven't solidified with their offense. They haven't really,
because it opens up the inside.
Yes, and then once you have to play that, you have to go in for that. So.
Yeah, we had a guest.
All right.
We have the show. Reality TV.
All right. So, do we want to make a prediction on the Christmas Day?
Games. I'm going to say Lakers by 7.
I'd say Lakers by 3.
I'd say Lakers by 5, but I want them to win by 15.
Okay. I would say the Lakers win by a point. Honestly,
it's going to come down to that.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm very worried about the optics of this game.
Okay, so here's my question.
I don't know if the Lakers – okay, put it this way. We watch a lot of Laker basketball, and we know what the scowl looked like. You know, when you come in that game with with that attitude, with that face, with that, like, it doesn't matter what y'all going. We are going to win the game. I don't see any of those teams. Like, as much as I love AD, don't see the scowl. Much as I love LeBron, don't see the scowl. I don't see the
You might see the scowl on this game, though.
But you know what? We're starving for it.
I need that.
Yeah, that's true.
We're starving for it after Ingram and Lonzo and all these quiet players that we had. We're starving for it because we were used to Kobe.
Kobe, we're used to Kobe.
Where's the killer? Where's the killer?
And then Kobe and Shaq was like, oh, my God. Because you have both of these guys really did not care. And you know,
the only person the only person that really kind of has it is Kuzma. You know what I mean?
Brings us to Kuz.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we need Kuzma to not be hurt. We need them to get in there and affect the game because you have to be the Patrick Beverly on the Clippers is not the best player.
Who's the Patrick Beverly on the Lakers though? When Meta left, that was the end of it.
Right.
Like, is that person?
I don't think we have one.
Sasha too was the quiet silent killer.
Sasha, I love him.
You know,
I think the closest is Caruso.
Caruso,
just because he nags and he gets his hands in there.
He's got the game face too.
Yeah.
Especially when when he gets the dunk, you see that fire, you see it come out.
He can't sit down.
But what I love, about
he can't sit down.
What I love about Caruso is Caruso may not have any points, but he'll be plus 11 when he's in the game.
Yeah,
you know,
because he's passing the ball, lobbing the ball, defending the ball.
He does things that do not show up in the stat sheet.
Yeah,
so and that's definitely what we need because Patrick Beverly is the heartbeat of the team, but he's not the best player.
And there's a connection between Caruso's playing personality and his success because we watched him grow on South Bay.
Exactly.
And he played those games with the same intensity, the same scowl, the same heart. And it's transferred over to the NBA.
And that's a great transition because I was going to say the same thing you did. I watched AC since he got into the Lakers and the South Bay Lakers, and that kid won't sit down. He didn't sit down, and he was coaching.
Yeah,
he was coaching from the sidelines on the South Bay Lakers. Kobe was sitting. AC was coaching, and clapping and screaming from the sidelines, and he did the same thing on the Lakers, which got him a job as well.
Yeah.
So if everybody, you're right. I think if AC is the spark plug, if no one's doing anything, put him in, and hopefully he can get things going. But let's talk about our favorite team, the South Bay Lakers. So they just came back from the Vegas showcase, and in a game they had four players in double figures. And 32-16, we had one double-double. And that's the Twitter account, which I'm not a fan of. Vonte.
Vonte, 15.
And then Costas had 18 with three steals. And Thornton Tucker, 14.7 rebounds, 7 assists. And then
Zach Norvell,
who's new, right?
He came back.
He came back.
14
points.
Hey, you know what?
14 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds.
Well, because touching on Norvell had a two-way contract. Oh. And then they decided, hey, we want Costas. So they cut Norvell to give Costas a two-way contract.
Actually, it was Kaycock.
Kaycock.
Because they had Costas already. So they gave it to Kaycock. But that really stepped up as soon as Anthony Davis hurt his ankle. And they figured they just needed some bodies as opposed to a guard or something along those lines. So, he's back, and that's good to see him back.
He was good.
And scoring, again, 14 points, 8 assists, and 4 rebounds in that game.
All right, Gary Payton, GP2, I
think he
player
should replace KCP right now. I mean, that's just my
– Why is it that they won't have GP2 on the Lakers? Why is it that they won't give him a role? Try him out, for crying out loud.
You know, I think it's more about business than anything else.
Short or something? We all know he has hops.
I think they look and they say, look, we're paying KCP $8 million. We can't give, GP a
So it's back to the agents because they share an agent?
Absolutely. I think it's
LeBron's agent. It's KCP's agent.
It all goes back to LeBron.
Yeah, it all goes back to LeBron.
Let's stay on the South Bay.
GP's playing great, but he is also turnover heavy at times. A little streaky with his turnovers. Mm-hmm. Other than that, his play, to me, it seems like his play has really stepped up this year. Like the game has slowed down for him. He's seen it clearer. Everything's coming together faster for him. So it looks like he's right on the cusp to me, but he's still a little turnover heavy at times. And when he is, it tends to stick around for a game as opposed to a quarter or a few minutes. So something's got to change there. Maybe get out of that. That could be.
But he scores pretty much, man. I mean,
and, you know,
he can score.
But he's a scorer, and he can defend.
32 points, yes.
And he can rise. Well, he can dunk.
He can dunk like nobody.
He can dunk. He's probably the best dunker on the team right now.
I would say that. Oh. And we're talking about intensity. He brings that. That's another thing that he could, if maybe he streaky in his shooting, but when if he was on the court, you know he was going to bring.
He's a spark plug.
And I think sometimes, you know, especially with South Bay. I mean, he comes in, and sometimes he can change that whole game just for a couple steals, a dunk, a nice pass.
Way that he looks at a referee, you know, you know.
You know who my dad is?
Yeah, like, you know.
You know my daddy, right?
You gonna call that a foul? Okay, cool.
Yeah, you know that's how it.
Do you think the South Bay Lakers are missing Scotty Machado right now, who's pretty much killing it
in
Australia?
Yeah, they are. Oh, they are. You know, yeah, Machado. Machado was definitely the heartbeat of the South Bay Lakers last year. You know, and, Machado had to go get that money.
Yeah. Oh, he has to. Yeah.
They're missing, which is the same thing they're missing from last year, a big.
Yeah.
Look, Kostas is there, but Kostas likes to shoot from the outside. He's not necessarily
he was
playing
dribbling
back to
the ball.
Ball.
I saw a highlight from the showcase. He came in, dribbled, spinned, and did, you know, a post move at the end, and then got the basket. I was like, Kostas, are you a point guard and a forward?
Yeah. But last year, South Bay was really a mess until Spencer Hawes joined the team as a center, and it immediately changed.
I remember that, yeah.
Immediately changed the team. They immediately flowed better. The offense was in rhythm. Mm-hmm. They started winning games. They started having more fun. And again, they don't have a big this year.
Well, is Colby coaching too? Because, like, he'll spend the first half sitting on the bench. And that happened ever since he got kicked out of the game. That one game, he got kicked out of the game, and the other coaches were like, well, what do we do
what?
Now?
My
friends from the bench were coaching the Lakers during the game.
I mean, well, you know, maybe he's the Phil Jackson of the G League, you know, because
he gets his team together. They have chemistry.
Because, I mean, I know when I used to go back, when Phil was coaching, it would be a timeout, and, you know, Phil would be sitting there the whole time, and then
letting everybody
30 seconds left. He'll walk in there, he'll tell them two things, and they walk out.
He addressed that. He addressed that once in a team meeting.
Did?
Yeah, they had fans there at Staples, and Phil Jackson addressed that and said, simply put, he saw that a timeout. The team knows what they're supposed to do. A timeout is so the players can rest. He said, so we just give them a little touch here and there. This is what you're doing when you're going back, but it's rarely a huge differential from a play or something along those lines. It's mostly about rest.
But I loved it. I have to tell you, man, I loved it when somebody did something wrong and Phil, you know, had that limp and he chased you down, you had your head down, like, you know, definitely was like a father or looked like a father to a son, you know, type of thing, because he was like, what are you doing? And you were like, oh, he in trouble.
Yeah. Well, Kobe will go over to a ref and very quietly say the F word or something, get himself a technical.
Yeah.
It's the funniest thing.
Like, he's asking, can you get
tea.
So
he does defend his players.
Do we like Haycock?
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, I mean.
He had a great game, right?
He's my favorite right now because when he comes in, he has NBA game. To me, I mean, I can see him fitting on any team. And maybe I would love him to be with the Lakers, of course, the Los Angeles Lakers. But I do see him. I like his energy under the goal. He battles for rebounds. He plays, you know, defense pretty good, and I mean, he's athletic as all get out. So
energetic.
You know, I like that he can bring that, you know, to any team if he gets, you know, called up. I do.
Well, so, and that said, the G League is supposed to be a development league, and the NBA is supposed to bring up these players, and they go to this showcase for the weekend thinking that they're going to get seen by NBA scouts, and the scouts are going to give them a 10-day on an NBA team, not necessarily the Lakers. And it doesn't happen. It didn't happen last year, except for the Lakers did it for their own players. And I keep wondering, this is a development league. They go to this showcase. Maybe they don't play as much as a team, maybe, because, look, they had four guys in double figures. They still lost because they're trying to stand out. They don't know what the formula is. Players that are over 25 are already aged out, according to NBA scouts that I've talked to. And if you're 6'4 or under, you can also count yourself out, according to NBA scouts. This stuff isn't told to the players. I'd like to see some 10-day contracts come out of this showcase. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, we have a lot of – you know, you have you want to take that contract for them because you're like, okay, that's great. They're in the NBA, but you don't want to lose them on the South Bay either. So, you know.
But we acquired somebody, didn't we?
That's true. Yeah, we just got
Who did we get?
Didn't we get Hearn and I believe
Javon Felix.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see. Last season with the Oklahoma City Blue.
Oh, so he played with the G League last year for OKC.
Appeared in 48 games, 3 starts, averaging 6.6 points, 1.7 rebounds, and 2.2 assists.
Yeah. We need him in a bid, though. You know, going back to because Kostas is gone. You know, he was our biggest.
I mean, when we had back when we had Ivica. Yeah. You know, he developed.
Blocker.
The Lakers keep developing players in the G League, and then they go to the Clippers. Well, so they go to Washington. Thomas Bryant was one of the best players we ever had on South Bay Lakers. And they never – he would go up there, and he would have the best attitude, and he would be on those sidelines for the Lakers, and they wouldn't play him till the last 30 seconds or a minute, and it killed me.
And he had the scowl. He had the AC Caruso.
He did. Him and AC were like symbiotic, right? Yeah. So then he goes to Washington and he starts games.
I mean, at least he's successful.
So at least the South Bay develops.
But you brought it up. Exactly. You actually hit the nail on the head. And when we're talking about the South Bay Lakers and Kobe Carl, he's done a fantastic job of developing these G League players so that they can have a chance in the NBA. Has he done a fantastic job at coaching the team to win a G League title?
The first year he had it. Didn't he have
Vanderbilt?
Yeah, he had. I miss Vanderbilt.
You know, but so sometimes
can we
he
get
is.
Him back?
He is, yeah. sometimes it's frustrating because you're watching the games and you're wondering what the coach is thinking. But I think, again, I'll hit this up. I really think he's getting a directive from above, from the Lakers, to showcase some players. At every South Bay game, Kurt Rambis has been there.
He's been there that's fantastic.
At every game, sitting there, standing, taking notes, watching. He's decided.
But Luke used to come.
Well,
so the head coach used to come.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I looked up in those skyboxes and Luke was watching.
Yeah, watching.
I've seen,
I like that.
Vogel there a couple of times.
Oh, good.
He has been there. Yeah, but
how about the Lakers? Have they come to support?
They have. Yeah, Dwight Howard was there.
Oh, there's somebody who might be able to stand up and help us.
Yeah. You know what? Speaking of that, Dwight looks like he's going to make his
he's
going to get his permanent contract.
Oh, he's got it.
Oh, good.
He's golden.
What was it, January 21st?
Yeah,
I think so.
What's his guaranteed.
So he's going to make it?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So what do you guys think the South Bay Lakers need to do from here on out? And it's hard because the players go up, the players come down. The players let go, the players come in. The team is always changing. So in the G League, it's really hard to win, I think.
I think it's almost impossible when the coach doesn't know what players he's going to have from day to day. And let's just remember, it's not the bad players that they call up. It's the best players.
It's the best players.
So they're losing from day to day. At any point in the season, you can lose a player for 3 to 4 games.
And you said Jeffrey Carroll's back?
No, Jordan Caroline.
Oh, Jordan Caroline.
Jordan Caroline. Okay. Jordan Caroline. Played well, too.
See, we missed him, too, Carroll.
You know, Talen. I mean, he's...
Oh, Talen.
I mean, he balls one game, and then all of a sudden you hear he's getting called up for the Lakers, and you know they would love to have Talen, you know, for a few games just so they can work with him, GP, K-Cock, you know what I'm saying, Norvell. So it's just you don't have... consistency usually when it comes to, you know, having a good product. Now, there's other teams that, and then also there's the pull of the Lakers. Now, I think a lot of other teams may have the same issue with the Lakers. We probably have it less than anyone. I mean,
because our team is stacked.
A team that is not as good, I mean, usually you're going to be trying to find any spark.
Yeah, but not necessarily because they're not playing for anything.
Right, they're just...
They're not playing for a playoff role, so they're just playing their player.
And, you know, it definitely is a matter of consistency because, I mean, when with the Memphis Hustle, when they came in, they were 10-0. We were like, look, this team was undefeated. We were 5-5 at the time, and I'm like... And we went and we got them up by 16 going into the fourth quarter. They decided to make it interesting, but they ended up winning the game.
Yeah.
You know, South Bay Lakers. And so it lets us know that we have the talent to compete with the best
championship
talent.
Caliber.
Yeah, within the league.
You know, are we underutilizing Marcus Allen? Because this is his second year on the South Bay Lakers, and we haven't talked to him. We haven't talked about him. And I truly feel like if they gave him the right position, he is the – do you know in college he was like number 5 all-time at Stanford for steals?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, when Marcus gets in there.
Yeah, you would think that can help, right?
Yeah. I mean, when Marcus gets in there, I don't see a major impact. I see him getting playing time, but I don't see an impact.
So how can he make an impact, though, if he doesn't get enough playing time?
Well, you know.
He goes back and forth, doesn't
he? I mean, but I think you have to take advantage of the opportunities also.
That's true.
You know,
so are they playing him at the 3, the 1, the 2, what?
Yeah, they rotate him. Usually he's a 2 when he gets in there. But it normally is like, okay, Allen's in there until, you know, Horton or GP comes back. You know, he's like a filler. But he's never done anything to me where I'll be like, yeah, give that guy more playing time.
Well, he's been behind Machado.
Yeah, and Summer League, they didn't play him hardly.
Mm-hmm. No.
And Gary Payton. So he's been behind them as far as playing.
And then they got David Stockton, too, which, you know.
Constantly injured.
Yeah, he's constantly injured.
But Stingray Stockton.
But when he's there. Yeah, but when he's in there now, he definitely makes an impact. He has great vision, you know, like his dad. He could pass the hell out the ball. And he has a good, pretty decent shot, too.
So any final thoughts about the G League Showcase, the South Bay Lakers, before we move on to the NFL?
Just keep playing, keep digging, keep developing talent. We understand it. We like to see the wins, but we understand that it's a developmental league.
It's still exciting basketball.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. Going to the games. Again, highly recommended going to the South Bay Laker games. Highly recommended.
Yeah, I mean, one of the best tickets in town. Honestly, if you're thinking about the entertainment value that you're going to get for your ticket price, I mean, it's a really good. I actually went through a couple games, and I wasn't at first. I kind of remember back in the day it was the Defenders, and you know, and it was like, it was not like. Is this what this is? And then all of a sudden it just changed and it's really, I mean, it's festive. I mean you got the Laker girls are there, the full time Laker girls are there. You can see
same exact contest that they play at the South. Exact contest are the Lakers. Prices are different. You're not going to win $50,000 on a half court shot.
You're not getting $40,000.
You'll get some swag. You'll get swag.
You are going to get season tickets.
Season tickets.
You are going to get season tickets,
man. Hey, I'll do that for a half court shot.
Yeah.
And for those of you who remember the Defenders, Josh Majette is still playing. He went overseas and did really well, and now he played in the showcase. I saw him with the Lakeland Magic. But, I mean, he thought he got an NBA contract. So I was kind of curious about that. But Josh had the game face. Josh had the heart. And when he and Vander played, it's just like Thomas Bryant and AC. Like, you need those two.
Chemistry.
Yeah, you need that chemistry. And those guys were bringing home that they were getting to the playoffs. They were in the finals. They lost in the last couple seconds of the finals. And I remember them. So even when they were the Defenders, I got it. Especially if you're on the floor. There's nothing like sitting on the floor of the South Bay Laker game. Because the game, their butts are in your faces, man.
I enjoy that. The refs are your
I personally enjoy that. That's Miss Queen's three. You get to look at their legs. You know what I mean?
Once I had a ball thrown in my face.
Now, when I was courtside, you know, I'm coaching. I'm telling players to get the man, but you know, Miss Serene, she obviously is doing something
else. Yeah, when you talk about the Laker girls, you got to talk about
them. You know,
yeah,
that's only fair. The whole different angles, right? There's different angles.
Once again, you can follow us on Instagram at The Profanity Nation. So please follow us and subscribe below, because we're gonna have more and more fun. We're going to be talking more about – you're not going to find anybody talking about the South Bay Lakers on their podcast. We are, because not only are the majority of us South Bay Laker season ticket holders, we are big fans and positive. That's the one thing about – Profanity Nation, it's almost an oxymoron, because yes, we don't cuss, but we are really good fans that we support the players. We really do care about them, and you don't see that. And Mike, do you want to say that?
Yes, follow Profanity Nation. We last week on our Instagram, we did have a contest for those of you. We will have another contest and a quiz where it gives you opportunity to get a Profanity Nation shirt. And also an opportunity to get courtside seats to a Profanity Nation game. I'm sorry, not a Profanity Nation game. A South Bay Lakers
game. Isn't a Profanity Nation game a South Bay Lakers game?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, you know what?
Because you will be repping the Profanity
Nation. One in the same, man.
One in the same. Profanity Nation game.
And they treat their fans. They treat their season ticket holders really well.
Yeah, they
from
do.
What I remember.
We got gifts.
You got a tour of the place.
Yeah,
you know,
we got, yeah,
get
yeah.
to meet the players. The players are always not. Do they have that Christmas party?
Yeah, we had the Christmas party. Hey,
so
the Christmas party was great.
Oh, no.
Last year was with the players. Last year was with the players, and they had a photo booth and everything.
The players
had fun.
This year
they did it before the game.
Oh,
yeah. This year they did it before the game.
It's nice.
But this one, it was really good. You know, I was actually excited. I was standing there, and, you know, Ben walked up to me. That's the rep.
Ben on, yeah. If
ben
you want
on.
Tickets.
Yeah, yep. And
talk to Ben.
I got, there's like, a globe and everything that said, thank you for being here. You know, Merry Christmas. And I was like, oh, I felt like a little kid.
Yeah.
To get it. So, yeah.
Well, last season, I got Kobe's book, and I got a Lakers cold brew coffee maker.
That Anna must have been your rep. Huh? Yeah. Because, you know, I noticed that, you know, there's two reps there. Both of them are great. But I noticed that they give different things.
Oh, no, it was a wheel. You had to spin the wheel, and then you chose what you
okay.
wanted. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. All right, great. So NFL. So I don't know about you guys. I'm a Rams fan, and they lost to 49ers. If they won, they could have had a chance at the playoffs. They're out. They lost in the final second with a field goal. But our kicker actually kicked a 50-yard field goal, you know, to tie up the game, which was very exciting. But, you know, what are your thoughts about the NFL playoffs?
Let me ask you about that, though, because did you see the interview where they asked Ramsey what happened on that 46-yarder?
Oh, that was the crux of the game.
Yeah, and Ramsey basically let it be known it was not his fault.
Oh, it was miscommunication,
you know,
right?
It wasn't miscommunication. He said he was supposed to be over, and I was under.
So who did he pin it on?
He pinned it on the rookie sack. I think the guy that was
I forgot his name.
It's like four letters, right?
I forget his name.
Because I remember they showed him on TV.
Yes.
And they kept passing up. The 49ers kid, Garoppolo, kept finding people in the middle. Where did they find that pass? They found it right in the middle. Yes. So the Rams didn't think about that.
No, but it was very clear. Ramsey was like, look, that was not my fault. That was a guy over, I don't know, he was guarding the grass. He shouldn't have been guarding the man.
But they're a team sport, though. I don't know.
When you see that, that exact play.
In college, they don't do that.
When you see that exact play and you look at it and how when Ramsey basically was lined up, he lined up and he gave them the inside. He gave him inside. He was going to take away all the outside. So when he was opening up, he was standing here and he'd open up his body so he could run this way. That tells anybody, especially safety, that you're supposed to have help over the top. So if you're going to give them an inside release, then you're expecting help to come from the other side. Thing is, there was no help, and that's why he was getting burned. That's why you saw it was like this much of a gap
between like
Ramsey
feet.
And this guy all the way until he caught the ball. Ramsey usually is on everyone's, like, if you're playing man-to-man, he's really, you know, like, stuck on glue. But
no, well, Ramsey was correct, you know, in
that
it was not his, it clearly was not his fault. You know,
but a game doesn't come down to one play, does it?
No, they
were doing well on defense. They sacked the quarterback how many times? Matthews got his hand on some balls. Like, I was like, Clay's on our team, I forgot. That Trojan is on our team.
Yeah. I'll tell it to you like this. I was when I looked because I was getting something to eat, and it was like 21-10 or something. and the Rams were up. And then by the time I got home, it was 24. You know, I was like, well, what happened? All I did was go grab some
Right.
You know, and I think it was
so it was your fault then.
Well, I mean, they have the crowd behind them. That's a big stadium. Yeah. And
well, I mean, when you think about, like, okay, so, I mean, I'm just going to put it this way. If you're a Rams fan, you kind of know ever since the debacle in the Super Bowl, the blueprint has been out. So teams know how to defend against the McVay offense. And so when you're seeing this, you're kind of seeing the McVay offense versus the Shanahan offense. And Shanahan makes adjustments. So he made the adjustment to put them in a situation where they were down by like 14 points, I think, in the game. I think it was 21. It was 21-7.
Yeah.
And they ended up winning 34-31. So you think about it, only what about 10 extra points the Rams got when they had a 14-point lead is because they were able to stop the Rams from doing what they were doing, and then San Francisco was actually able to get some momentum. And then, remember, they have a great defense too. It's not the fact that this is
they're 11-1.
Yeah, they have
11-3.
Yeah, they have a great defense, so they're going to be able to stop teams consistently. And if their offense keeps rolling, they're going to be a hard out to get.
I saw a play where the offense was like this, and then on San Francisco, and they literally went like this. Mm-hmm. I have never seen that before.
I mean, he's
Shanahan, I'm like, whoa, Shanahan. I have never seen that before. What do you do with that?
His dad is still around. Dad's probably
over there.
Oh, my
gosh. You know, that's how you win games to me, you know?
But let me ask you this on the Rams. So, you know, Goff, you know, got that big contract. You know, he signed, and you know what? I forgot what $30 million, whatever. Did he
got paid?
Did he perform to the level of that contract?
Well, it takes two to catch a ball, right?
Yeah, well, that's true. But I'm just saying, you know, do you know, is he the one where last year he did amazing? And then he got his money, and then he had a down season. I mean, how would you rate golf?
They changed the players. It's not the same players as last year. Didn't they change the players?
Well, they still had Cooper Kupp, and that was his favorite.
Yeah, but
he's not playing with the surprise anymore.
Right, yes. And then also, I mean, if we're really, I mean, because golf does deserve some of the blame, but Todd Gurley is not the same Todd Gurley as last year that he was when he was killing it. And the fact that he's not able to set the pass up with the run, that's hurting Goff's production. And then also, I mean, you look at it like, I mean, when you think about the Rams are almost at a situation where they're capped out because they pay Goff, they pay Gurley, they're going to have to pay Jalen Ramsey. There's no doubt they have to pay them. They give a 2 first-rounders for him, so they have to pay him. So when you're having all this money tied up within 3-4 players, it's going to be, and with no first-round draft picks, it's going to be hard for them. I mean, they're going to have to get what they got right now, and they didn't make the playoffs, so now they don't have anything to come in to replenish. It's going to be hard for the Rams to actually get back, especially now that San Francisco is now established. So, but I do believe that they are good. I think this has just had a bad stretch when they lost those 3 games in a row. And ever since then, like before that, they were great. After that, they were.
But they were losing at the last seconds of the game, right? Yeah, so they were in it the whole time.
So they're
hopefully
good.
Their chemistry gets better by next season. And the fact that, you see this in college basketball all the time. The team that comes back with most of their players intact, like last night, St. John versus Arizona, who had 4 freshmen playing, you see that their chemistry gets better. And their chemistry gets better, and things get better. So we might have a lull on the Rams, but I don't think it's time to.
No, we don't talk about it.
Because they were in these games. Yeah. I believe they
were
in these games.
Did they take it for granted this year?
I actually do think they took this season in a way, because Seattle was not as good as they were this year. The 49ers were definitely not as good as they were this year.
Yeah, they weren't even in.
So
yeah, they turned around in a year.
And so you start thinking about that. They probably probably thought that if we go 10-6, we have the division, win the division, get into the playoffs, and then anything can happen in the playoffs. However, when you're playing against Seattle twice, you're playing.
Yeah, it's just the schedule.
You know, it's hard. And then also, the strength of schedule, because of the fact that
they beat
you're
the
playing
Seattle,
now a strength of schedule as the NFC champion. You're not playing the strength of schedule as somebody that was an 8-8 season or anything like that.
They're coming for you.
They're coming for them. We know what's going on. And plus, I mean, a lot of these teams are, I mean, just like we're talking about, we talked to the Lakers earlier, it's just they're going to get everyone's best shot.
Exactly.
So where do you guys predict the 49ers will go from here?
You know, personally, my early Super Bowl prediction is 49ers Baltimore. I like Baltimore. I mean, you know,
Lamar Jackson's so exciting.
Look, we know one thing about love about Lamar was when he was you could tell he was disappointed he got picked 32, and they asked him what they was gonna get out of him. When Deion asked him what he gonna get, he said they gonna get a Super Bowl, and that just threw chills in me because you knew in his eyes he was serious about when he said that.
And the dual threat and quarterback this is not right dead.
Now, it's
this guy right now, he's so amazing. He's changing, he can definitely do it.
I mean, we can say this, like, I mean, this, there have been other running quarterbacks and stuff. Mm-hmm.
RG3, no,
however,
Michael
this
Vick.
Dude is now on some other level to the point where it used to be we have a quarterback that is a running quarterback or that played in a system like a spread system or an option system and read option, excuse me. And then now he has to conform into the guidelines or the parameters of the NFL game. So now we have a quarterback that is a running quarterback. We're going to make him, you know, throw it out of the pocket. And now what Baltimore did, they're like, oh, okay, so that's what you do. That's what you like to do? Okay, so we're going to get the coaches. We're going to bring in this philosophy.
And they bent
to
him. They bent to him.
Yeah,
what do you know?
To your strength and going to put you in the best position to win. And because of they doing that, now it's
going
to
get rid of Flacco.
I mean, you know, and they said, you know, and then they also got Mark Ingram. That's nothing to sneeze at, guys. I mean, Mark Ingram is also a full-on, like, all-pro
Hall of Famer.
Like, I mean, he's – and you have that threat of either going to give it to him or I'm going to take it. And both of them are basically pick your poison, not to mention the defense is now caught up to the offense. So we were saying about, like, the predictions, or I would say I think San Francisco will make it to the NFL – I mean, to the Super Bowl because they have the best defense of all the teams that are playing, and they can win games on their defense alone. And if their offense is doing what they're doing right now, scoring 30 points, it's really going to be able to and be hard to beat both the offense and the defense. And then, of course, you got the AFC. Until you knock the Patriots out and put them.
I hate the Patriots.
Of course, who doesn't?
I the Celtics.
Them. You know what?
The Patriots.
You know what?
But
you know what? This is the first year that Tom Brady is slowing down.
Well, it looks like
it's looking human.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you're exactly. Literally like, okay.
Yeah, well, don't worry. This season is yet to begin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's true. We haven't played the playoffs yet. Belichick hasn't played against the team. I mean, everyone thought that McVay was going to. I mean, it was almost the master versus the apprentice in the Super Bowl. It was like, oh, so that's what you like to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you 3 points in the Super Bowl. 3 points. You score 30 points a game. You got 3 points. And yep. You're lucky to get those 3 points. You almost
but
got
the Patriots, and as Gronk said, the Patriots have this. There's a way the Patriots, you either fit in their system or you don't.
Plug and play.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the way it is, and it's a winning system.
It helps when they record the solid.
But they'll throw you some surprises.
Now that they have a
winning
formula, they're going to stick with it, but
because
they're close to having to change that.
Before that, I think we're going to move on to the next topic, but I think before that, it was like, remember they had, Wells Welker? They had Welker, they had Gronk.
But I'm
just saying, like, when we're talking
Edelman's hurt now.
We had to plug and play, so we had... What's another? They had three of the same person. They had Welker. They had also
Edelman, right?
But there's another person that was the same mold.
Same player.
That was in that slot receiver.
Right. So they draft mold.
So they know exactly what they want to do, and they run it to perfection. I mean, even though, I mean, he should not be named Aaron Hernandez. but when they had both the two tight end sets, they were actually running a lot of stuff out of that. So, but that's just, I think Belichick is the greatest coach of all time, even though he cheats.
On that note, everybody have a fun and safe holiday season. From Profanity Nation to you, we wish you a very Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate, Summer Solstice, and a Happy New Year. And let's win on December 25th.
December 25th, Lakers.
And follow us at the Profanity Nation on Instagram and subscribe below. Gotcha. Subscribe below.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
Thank you, guys. Happy holidays.
Go Lakers.
Go Lakers.
Go Lakers.
Let's do the ending one more time.
Okay.
Make sure the camera's on before you start it. And action.
So with that said, let's say Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Summer Solstice, New Year, everything from Profanity Nation to Lakers fans, Rams fans, everybody who's watching us. We appreciate you. Thank you for following us. Stay with us because we're just going to get better and better at this.
Subscribe here.
Below and go Lakers.
Go Lakers. Go South Lakers. Bay.
Go South Bay.
Happy holidays.
Happy
holidays.
All right. One thing that I did within the front row that was fun is if we get a chance to ever be around players, you guys,
yeah.
A video sideways and get them to say you were watching Profanity Nation.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
So when you're around the players, if you can get them to say that.
Okay.
We post this on Instagram, start tagging all the players so they see what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then see you at the games. They're going to talk to you a little more because we're doing this outside of Noah.
Right.
But when you're in the thing, you're not allowed to do anything. But the season ticket, Ben gives you, you can take pictures sometimes. Right. I brought
DJ,
Monty, but he had too long a lens.
DJ,
they wouldn't let him.
DJ's been hanging around the,
DJ
hangs around the.
Who's DJ?
I would have to show him to you if you don't
know. Oh, okay.
But he's like one of the bosses. He kind of hangs around the autograph tables now. I noticed like in the last two games. Have you noticed that?
Who?
DJ kind of hangs around.
DJ, yeah, he's been running that.
Yeah, but he's been hanging around in the beginning of the season. He wasn't.
To make sure that no one's doing anything?
He was more Lakers.
Yeah, but.
Do you want me to keep the mug or are you.
No, I bring them.
Okay, well, let me take my lipstick off.
I always wash them. You know. I always watch it.
Well, you know what's mine. Okay, well, I like this. This was fun. I hope you guys enjoyed what I did.
Yeah, I really did.
Kept the ball rolling, hopefully. Yeah, this really helps a lot.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.